This week on Potlatch, Bertha Peavy of Wainwright and Claude Dementiff of Holy Cross. Ten 10,000 native people live in Anchorage, and many more Alaska natives pass through that city. A number find it hard to adapt fast to the change from a small village to the large city. And that's where Bertha Peavy comes in. Although Bertha works for the Cook Inlet Native Association, she does her work at the Anchorage International Airport.
I assist the natives when they come into the Anchorage area. I'm located at the Anchorage International Airport, room C249. And there are signs in front of the office. You can go down next to Green Gate 35 and you will find the office. With the sign saying Inupiat Ikayuktat Uvani Okapira Lusilu Inupiat Lu Ikayok Menyarapsi. The airport center is for natives incoming flights and they are assisted in locating their destination and the baggage areas and contacting the agencies, especially the families relocating in Anchorage, can get their various information from this office. The office has the information on agencies, hospitals, hotels, and food services, and where you can get housing. The other agencies that are assisting the Airport Native Assistance Center are located at 670 Far Wheat Lane, where you can get housing and other needs.
How did you get interested in working at this center?
Well, it was what they call a new career, and I started from the very bottom. I didn't even have a location, but somebody mentioned it at the Community Action Agency offices that they should be a Native Assistance Center, so they asked if there was any Native around Anchorage area that would be interested in helping Natives when they come to the city of Anchorage. So I put in my application. I was accepted the same day, and I started that same evening. That was 4.5 years ago. I like it very much. I get to see people from all over the state. The people that need wheelchairs, incoming natives or outgoing native hospital patients, have the use of the wheelchairs in the office. And we usually get people coming in from villages that are in need of wheelchairs. Like, for instance, if they're older people, and I meet these older people at the gates and assist them, and they can have the use of the wheelchairs. They don't have to walk anywhere if they don't want to, and invalids mostly.
When Native people arrive in the airport, the first Native person they may see is Bertha Peavy. Here are some of her services to Native people.
Making reservations for them, or hotel reservations, or any kind of assistance they need is available here.
For Native people who can speak Inupiaq, Bertha Peavy has this message.
Inupiaq igla rod anguish muntikit kubsi ikayok tikla kaktusi uvani ikayok viktavra itkaluaktok anguish airport ngani tikin yurani ato apsi kanusili maamik ikayok tikla kaktusi pahalani apsi tikit kubsi kubenaktuki inyungni inaakkinyin kairo niktautulaktuni Sapihranasi mango tikit kubsi. Tabre ikayutihraksi itok anguishmun. Nangit kubsi nagani ilasi pakitju kubsi it supayani kayok tikau kubsi. Sapihranayalusi. Telephone kakting over airport me 274-1016. Kokoaranayalo of singa tabre ikayutihraksi itok.
sunshine on my shoulders makes me happy. Sunshine in my eyes can make me cry. Sunshine on the water looks so lovely. Sunshine almost always makes me high. If I had a day that I could give you, give to you a day just like today. If I had a song that I could sing for you, I'd sing a song to make you happy. Sunshine in my eyes can make me cry. Sunshine on the water looks so lovely. Almost always makes me high. If I had a tale that I could tell you, I'd tell a tale smile. If I had a wish that I could wish for you, I'd make a wish for sunshine all the while.
Gentleman who spent some time in northern Alaska last year, John Denver. Now, a special program from the Bureau of Indian Affairs.
A number of Indian reservations and Alaska villages in the United States suffer a syndrome known as the isolation factor. Radio and television signals don't penetrate the more remote reservations, and costly newspapers and printed materials very seldom find their way to isolated societies. In more than just a few pockets in the United States, individuals live in a vacuum, devoid of the daily information most citizens take for granted. To provide more of an awareness of the social problems facing Indian people in this country, we will attempt to show in this broadcast what happens to a people who must live without communication. In the southeastern section of the state of Montana is the Northern Cheyenne Reservation, over 444,000 acres. Very little news from the outside world finds its way into the lives of the Morning Star people. Mountains and hills barricade the Indian community from distant radio and television signals. Newspapers and magazines are scarce. Ray Spang, a tribal councilman, describes the dilemma facing his people.
Well, they don't really know what's going on, whether it's inside or the outside. And they have to resort to rumor and direct person-to-person contact to find out what's really going on, even inside the reservation. And that slows down the whole process of, progress. Well, I suppose information is the basis of all group action. And the way it is now, we don't have any kind of people who know the same kind of facts on the same day. Talk about me, for instance. The reason I go to cities is to get information from libraries, from schools, from offices, from programs and stuff, then also music, I guess. And those are the only two things that I miss when I go back home. I've got music now, but I don't have information. You know, I don't have newspapers. I don't get the Christian Science Monitor. I don't get the Washington Post. I don't have access to all that stuff that just goes on by and goes over our heads, literally, I suppose, you know. And without that, we can't really move.
Most citizens in the United States are bombarded with such a flow of information that they have the privilege, even luxury, of selecting what they want to see, read, or hear. But to a community whose want of knowledge and information is so great, it's staggering to realize how many social problems arise from just not having access to even the simple compounds of fact, let alone entertainment benefits. Any housewife can flip a switch and have timely, accurate health information, which in turn would reduce the prevalence of major causes of disease, disability, and death. Not so on reservations, where sickness and alcoholism rack up enormous tolls on human life. Robert Burnett from the Rosebud Reservation in South Dakota describes it this way.
In and around our reservation, in fact, we got Pine Ridge next door, and of course, there's a total lack of Indian communications as such. And we do have all kinds of non-Indian radio stations commercializing and all this type of stuff. And no educational facilities whatsoever as far as television or radio is concerned. So we have a total breakdown of real communications as they should be between a large body of people such as the Sioux people. And we attempt to fill this gap by a small tribal newspaper, but that is insufficient because it's too costly and it don't reach the people like it should. And of course, the people don't take time to read because they're scampering after a little bit to eat and they're starving and unemployment all over the place. So all in all, it's a real terrible situation as it is in most places in the country.
Traditional communication approaches don't often work either, even when a tribe is able to receive electronic signals, mainly because of the great diversity of the audience. There are more than 250 Indian tribes or nations in this country, many of them speaking in different languages and dialects. One young enterprising Navajo in the Southwest was able to talk a television studio into letting him translate the Walter Cronkite show into the Navajo language, right down to the, "and that's the way it is," in Navajo. In the state of Washington, on the most northwestern tip of the continental United States, is the Macaw tribe. When Mary Jo Butterfield returned to live there on her reservation after working in the city, she says she nearly went crazy.
This is like a vacuum. What you take for granted in the city is reading the newspaper in the morning and at night watching your 6 o'clock news as a daily habit. And when I moved to the reservation, that is non-existent because we didn't have television and the newspaper didn't come in until 6 o'clock at night. So there was no news, and the people are sometimes happily, I think, very, very deprived of what's happening around them. But it's neglectful for to do business by and to maintain any pace in progress.
It's a small wonder Indian people have been referred to as an alienated society, when in many areas it's impossible to get an understanding of educational opportunities, knowledge of health benefits, awareness of social possibilities, or even the location of job opportunities. This is Tana Beebe reporting for Indian Network News, a bi-monthly broadcast sponsored by the Bureau of Indian Affairs in cooperation with this station.
The rain was turning into snow when I told her that I loved her. She turned my dream world into love. So we lived on together. Seasons come and seasons go, but love goes on forever. And I found my winter love December. You can be my winter love. Sow seeds of love in early spring, then wait all through the summer to see the harvest fall can bring. Then we'll both love him through the winter, of life, watch him grow into a man and find himself a wife. Now the offspring of our love found his shelter through the summer and made his way of life to make it through the winter. But your hair has turned to gray in the autumn of your life. You've been everything to me, a love, a dream, a song, a wife. Then the cold snow of winter came, pushed your summers out of season, and took away my winter love, leaving me without a reason. Seasons come and seasons go, and love goes on forever. But I lost my winter love December. Yes, I lost my winter love on a morning in December.
Cody Bearpaw, who some of you may have remembered from the Nuchilawaya last year at Tanana. Speaking of Tanana, or at least the Tanana chiefs, that organization's director of health authority is leaving. Claude Dementev has announced he will work with his people and not for his people. For Claude, this means he will move to his land at Reindeer Lake among his own people. Reindeer Lake is near his hometown of Holy Cross. There, Claude intends to write of his experiences while working for the Tanana chiefs and to learn from his father and granduncle. I asked Claude for a statement.
I'm leaving the chiefs mainly because I need a break. I wish to complete some writing that I've been writing for the past 3 years. And I wish to complete that in the environment of my forefathers. And I wish to build my home and prepare for the next time I work in an organization that advocates Native interests.
Thank you. almost heaven. West Virginia, Blue Ridge Mountains, Shenandoah River. Life is older, older than the trees, younger than the mountains, growing like a breeze. Country roads, take me home to the place.
Country Roads, John Denver singing about his native West Virginia. Maybe that song relates to some of our topics coming up. For instance, easements. Easements are rights of access across lands owned by someone. For example, if I have an easement on your land, I have the right to use a limited part of your land to pass through on my way to someplace else. Now, the Secretary of Interior, Thomas Kleppe, recently ruled that the federal government will have easements on Alaskan Native lands. Claude Dementev comments on this decision.
The Secretary of the Interior made the decision to allow easements across Native lands without payment. That was a decision which overruled a lot of the concepts of free enterprise. If you owned a piece of land, or if I owned a piece of land, or that we purchased, that land would have to be compensated for if there was a proposed easement, an approved easement across that land. Whoever proposed that easement would have to pay for the land. Right now, the decision is no payment of land, so it is, in my opinion, a tool of the federal government to acquire what the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act entitled the Native people of Alaska to receive.
I asked Claude Dementev if Native Americans should participate in the American Bicentennial.
Yes and no. Yes, I think we should participate by reminding the United States government how they got here, who was here. No, I do not think we should participate in the celebration of the conquest of this country. This country is very sacred. The land is very sacred. and for a government that is foreign to enter this country and to make it a commodity should not be celebrated by Native American people, because that has never been their tradition.
The state of Alaska's Growth Policy Council is asking Alaskans what, if anything, the state should do with the North Slope Hall Road north of the Yukon River. I ask Claude his opinion.
I do not favor public access to the road. I think that it would do great harm, not only to the land and the animals, but to the people who travel that road. The more they travel and see the country, the change of attitude is different toward the land. It is something that you just see. It is kind of barren. It is a commodity. When land is really alive, land is never barren. The land is can never be owned. The land owns the people, and that should always prevail. But access to land as such would change that attitude completely opposite, and I don't think that's right.
Vine Deloria, a Lower 48 Indian, thinks Native Americans should break from the United States and form their own country. I ask Claude if he agrees.
I agree with the concept. Yes, I do. It's impossible at this point in time. There is not enough Native American population, in my opinion, to do such a massive move. If it was successful several hundred years ago in the Indian Wars, then a new country would have been set up.
Claude Dementev adds this comment.
I'd like to speak in terms of industry. The Alaska Native Claims allowed a broad financial base to be established in regions and villages with which they could invest to control anything they chose. If we are indeed to become a separate country,
Claude Dementev looks forward to the day
when village corporations and regional corporations control as much of industry in rural Alaska as possible, control transportation, communication, oil. That's how control can be gained right now. Big business is like a third world, especially the oil companies. They skip international boundaries, and it's kind of insane. One wonders whether or not the little person has a chance in this world. And looking at Standard Oil and all the companies like that, 3M company, they control. Those corporations are now in a position to do what they did 200 years ago, or 100 years ago. Except our first year, our first few years are now. And now's the time to move.
The outgoing director of the Tanana Chiefs Health Authority, Claude Dementev. Next week, an interview with the outgoing president of the Tanana Chiefs, Melvin Charlie. We invite our listeners to write in to us at KUAC Radio in Fairbanks for your comments about our program. We're just trying to figure out what you'd like to hear, and maybe you'd like to hear something else. Or if you have some kind words for us, we'd like to hear them too. This is Jeff Kennedy. Thanks for listening. Potlatch is produced by KUAC under Title I of the Higher Education Act.